blessing and honor and glory and power. Amen. Amen. Amen.
We bring you
blessing and honor and glory and power. Amen.
Behold the the truth and the life, perfect Savior, the blood that washed us white, the God who was and He is and shall be forever.
Everything is in the person of Jesus. Everything. Everything. It's about Jesus. Praise the Lord. I love that good anointed singing. Thank you, choir. My heart's burning within me today. When I flew into Honduras Thursday morning and the Lord began to speak to us, and I want to share with you this morning, but I'm not going to. I'm going to wait until tonight. Again, you don't want to miss tonight's service. I am not 100% that we will live stream the service. We may not. I'm still looking at the situation. We're going to have a lot of information that we're going to be giving you tonight. And it's very exciting information. I believe the Lord has given us direction. And so We want everyone to be a part of it. You're going to be a part of missions that's going to change people's lives forever. So I'm excited about this. This time we're going to dismiss our children from age 5 to 11 to Children's Church. All the children from age 5 to 11. We've been to Honduras 3 times, El Salvador once, and Nicaragua once in the last several months. So we're going to have pictures to show you all the details of everything that's going on and what our church is going to be doing in the very near future. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Luke chapter 17, and then I'm going to be going to Matthew chapter number 24. Luke chapter number 17, and then Matthew chapter number 24. Luke 17 and 1. Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible that offenses should come, but woe unto him through whom they come. Then Matthew chapter 24 and verse 10. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world for a witness unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you again for another opportunity to gather into the sanctuary. Lord, we feel the presence of a holy God. Lord, we're in awe. We're still awestruck at your majesty and your glory, the holiness of this great God that we serve. Lord, this morning I'm asking you that you would illuminate our spirit man and open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, that we can see what you want us to see. I'm asking you, Lord, that you would strengthen us by the word of God. Equip us in this last hour. We are in the days right before the coming of the Lord. We know that there's a real enemy that seeks our demise. Help us, Holy Ghost. I pray that you would empower us by the Holy Ghost of the living God. Lord, we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to read verse number 1 of Luke 17 again. Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. I'm going to preach to you this morning on the high cost of offense. At times, I believe Christians forget that we are in a battle. We go along in our daily life, in our jobs, our families, our everyday activities, and we forget that we are in a warfare every single day. There's a real devil out there who seeks our destruction. The Bible says that the thief, referring to the devil, he goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. John 10 and 10 says, the thief goeth about to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Yes, he is a real devil, and he's good at what he does. That's what the devil does. He destroys, he kills, he deceives, and he tempts. He's everything and all against the word of God and against our great Christ. And it's time that you and I stop being ignorant to his devices. It's time that we wake up. It's time that we get illuminated by the power of the Holy Ghost of God, and we put on the whole armor of God and win the battle against the powers of hell. Can I get a witness in this house this morning? The enemy is a destroyer, and many times he operates in the area of setting traps. Do we have anybody in this house that's ever set a trap for an animal? Any hunters in this place that has set traps? Anybody against hunting? Is you in the wrong place, because this is East Texas. Listen to me. Entrapments is one of the great areas the enemy works in. He sets traps. Anyone who has trapped animals knows a trap needs one of two things to be successful. Number one, it must be hidden. in hope that an animal may not stumble upon it. Hidden, it looks like its natural environment. It may have leaves over it or sticks. The animal is unknowingly walking into a trap. And number two, it must be baited to lure the animal into the trap's deadly jaws. What is true in the animal kingdom is true with you and I. Those same two principles. Listen, you're not going to willingly walk into a trap. And if something doesn't entice you, you're not going to go to where it is. Listen, Satan, the enemy of our soul, incorporates both of these strategies as he lays out his most deceptive and deadly traps. They are both hidden and baited. Satan and his demons are not as blatant as many believe. He is subtle and delights in deception. He is shrewd in his operations. He is cunning and crafty. Listen, don't ever forget that the enemy comes as an angel of light. He don't come as a devil with a pitchfork in his hand and horns on his head. Amen. He comes as an angel of light. What seems to be something that's all right, the devil may be behind it, and it may be a trap. One of his most deceptive and insidious kinds of bait is something every Christian has encountered. Every one of us in this house have encountered. It is called an offense. We get our feelings hurt or someone does this wrong. I'm going to tell you, it's allowing an offense to get a hold of you. It's deadly. An offense is not deadly in itself if it stays in the trap. Think about it. There are many offenses that come, and there's a lot of things that can offend us. Offense is not deadly if it stays in the trap. But when we pick it up, consume it, feed on it in our hearts, and we become offended, amen, it becomes a deadly, deadly, deadly thing. Offended people produce much fruit, such as hurt, anger, outrage, jealousy, resentment, strife, bitterness, hatred, and envy. Come on, church. You know exactly what I'm talking about. When offense comes, whenever we allow it to get in, we are walking in the trap of the enemy, and there's going to be some fleshly fruit that comes from that. What we better do is be on guard and don't allow the enemy to trick us into his trap of offense. God, the Holy Ghost, wants to show us before we ever get there what it is and what the devil's trying to do. Often those who are offended do not even realize they are trapped. They are oblivious to their condition because they are so focused on the wrong that was done to them. Come on, church. They don't even realize that person that is entrapped into the trap of offense. They don't even realize they're trapped. They don't even realize that the devil has them exactly where he wants them because they're so focused on that person that did them wrong. You don't know what they did to me. I love them. They were a friend to me and they turned their back on me. They talked about me. Oh, listen, there are so many different areas that we can think of that people have offended us, done us wrong, stole from us. Amen. We loaned them money and they never paid us back. They ended up trying to split our family. Amen. You mess with my family, you mess with me, ladies and gentlemen. And listen, when somebody has done something wrong to us, we can easily hold on to it. And we end up finding ourselves in the trap of the adversary. And we may not even know we are in a trap. We're oblivious. We're in denial. The most effective way the enemy can blind us is cause us to focus on ourselves. Well, you don't know. Man, they don't even call me. They don't talk to me. They don't even act like I'm a part of the church house. Well, listen, if we haven't done that, we're going to work on that. You let us know. But I can tell you, you can't allow yourself to get offended by it or you're going to fall right into the trap of the adversary. In our text, the word is used in the book of Luke and Matthew. One word, offenses, and the other word, offended. The Greek word, offended or offenses, comes from a word, scandalon. It actually refers to the part of the trap which the bait is attached. Amen? Think about it. How can you associate offenses or being offended with the part of the trap that the bait is attached to? I can tell you why. It's translated in the Greek for this very reason, because offenses is a great area the enemy will pull you in. He will get you into that trap. He'll upset you. Oh, somebody did me wrong. They talked about, listen, thousands of things every one of us could fill the blank in. Isn't it interesting? That word, offenses, has the exact connection to the part of the trap where the bait is set. Listen, don't take the bait. Don't allow yourself to get your feelings hurt and end up getting out of the will of God. There's a whole lot of people who get out of the will of God because everything didn't go their way. They got hurt, and somebody's going to pay the eternal price because you moved out of that place of the perfect will of God because you got your feelings hurt. Many are unable to function in their calling because of wounds and hurts that offenses have caused in their life. They are handicapped and hindered from fulfilling their full potential. Most often, it is a fellow believer that has hurt them. Listen, who can hurt you the most? It's other brothers and sisters in Christ. It's your blood family. Amen. It's your closest friends. That world can't hurt you like the ones that you love can hurt you. Listen what Psalm says. David says in Psalms 55 and 12, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it," or I could have dealt with it. "Neither was it that he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man of my equal, my God, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in company." Come on. It is a trap. I'm warning you, ladies and gentlemen, it is a trap the enemy wants us to walk into. Take the bait, swallow it, and begin to maul on the issue, the problem. Don't fall into the trap of the enemy. They say the most terrible court cases are divorce cases. I can understand that. I told my wife a long time ago, if you ever leave me, I'm packing my bags and going with you. I'm telling you, they say at times that divorce is even worse than death. Divorce is even worse than, listen, whenever a man marries a woman, listen, you leave father and mother and you cleave to that spouse and you become one flesh. Listen, I'm telling you, the hurt can run deep in divorce, or when it comes to custody battles, or the death of a loved one and you're dealing with inheritances. I'm going to tell you, I have seen true colors come out in people when it comes to the death of their mom and dad, or the death of a brother or sister. I'm telling you, all of a sudden that love turns into bitterness. It turns into selfishness. It turns into a spirit of covetousness. Am I the only one that have seen that? Oh, listen, it takes those type of situations to show you what's on the inside of your heart. And that's what it is in every situation. It's not whenever everything's going good that reveals who you are. It's when the pressure, the trials, the situations of life come your way. Then what's on the inside always comes out. Come on, church. I'm telling you, when I see that junk come out of my heart, that's when I get it under the blood and say, "Oh God, forgive me. Help me. Help me to get it out. I want to become just like Jesus." We know offenses are going to come. The possibilities of offense are as endless as the list of relationships we have. No matter how complex or simple, the truth remains, only those that you care about can hurt you. Why? You expect more from them? After all, you've given them more of yourself. Is that not the truth? You've given them all of you. You've been a faithful friend or a family member. You haven't done those things, and all you expect is the same treatment you've given them. Well, I'm just going to give you some information this morning on that subject. People are not always going to do as good to you as you do to them. And I can tell you, whenever you and I begin to compare how good we are to other people and we get offended because they didn't do the same thing to us, we are walking right into the trap of the adversary. Listen to me. Whenever you and when I do something for somebody, when you begin to care about other people, you stop thinking about yourself. And I can tell you, you'll stop being offended so much when you begin to get a burden for somebody else's lost son or daughter, or somebody else's finances, or somebody else's trouble or warfare of the mind. I can tell you, you won't worry about somebody having to help you and be there right beside you all the time. There's just something about caring for other people, loving other people, getting a burden for others in the church world. It is one of the great antidotes to offense. Those who are in quarrels or opposition fall into a trap and are held prisoner to the devil's will. Let me say that again. Those who are in quarrels or opposition fall into a trap and are held prisoner to the devil's will. Even more alarming, they are unaware of their captivity. That's a dangerous thing. When the enemy has you in his trap and you're even unaware of it. Like the prodigal, they must first come to themselves and repent, but they don't even know they're in a trap. They do not realize they are spewing out bitter waters rather than pure waters. You know, I can talk with someone and hear their heart just for a moment. And I may not know their situation. I may not have known them for very long. But I can just listen to them just for a little while. And I can tell you whether they've been offended. I can tell you whether there's some bitterness there. Because it just comes out, that negativity. And they always have a jaded view on everybody. They don't trust nobody. They don't want to get close. There's a wall up. And there may be somebody in this house this morning. You put walls up because somebody's done you wrong. Well, it's time to allow the Holy Ghost to break down them walls, because we are Christ's hands and feet extended to a lost and a dying world. We're the only Jesus that most people are going to see. It's time that the walls come down. It's time that you allow God to do in you what he's been trying to do in you. Are you entrapped? Listen, it's scary to be in a trap and not know it. Most people don't realize they are spewing out those bitter waters. They don't realize what they're saying. Listen, one thing about arguments and quarrels against other people, there's somebody that's right and wrong. Maybe you're both wrong. But every time I have a disagreement with somebody, I always think I'm right. My wife don't always think I'm right. It takes the Holy Ghost, takes the Word of God, it takes a pricking of my conscience to see that I'm not right. Listen, I say this all the time. Jacob and Esau, they had that issue at the end, and Esau had the power, the army might to destroy Jacob. God always stands with the one who has been done wrong. Esau was deceived. His birthright was stolen from him. Come on. And God had given Esau the power to destroy Jacob. Listen, God always stands with the one who's done wrong. And the one who's done wrong is not according to our view, but according to God's view. We're not near as holy as we think we are. We're not near as right all the time as we think we are. That's why we need to allow the Spirit to search our motives, to try the reins of our heart, to prick our conscience. I can tell you, I'm wrong a whole lot. Whenever I first get into a disagreement, I always think I'm right. It's a scary thing to be wrong and to think you're right. No matter what the scenario is, we can divide all offended people into two major categories. Number one, those who have been treated unjustly. There is a legitimate wrong treatment. Number two, those who believe they have been treated unjustly. It doesn't really matter when it comes to the recipient, whether it's true or false. If you feel it, even if it's not true, you can get your feelings hurt and you can enter into that trap. Listen, people in the second category, the people who just feel or believe that they have been treated unjustly, they believe it with all their hearts that they have been done wrong. So it doesn't matter if they've been done wrong or not. If they believe it, they're still in that trap. Often their conclusions are drawn from inaccurate information, or their information is accurate, but the conclusion is distorted. Have you ever been there? Have you not got all the facts in the situation? Stay with me this morning. You didn't get all the facts in the situation. So part of it was true, but the conclusion was distorted. It's time that we get out of this trap, ladies and gentlemen. It's time that we stop mauling and meditating on all the things that we've been done wrong in. And one way the devil keeps them trapped, or us trapped, is our pride. I've had people say things or do things to me, and this is when I was a younger man. I'm not young anymore. I feel young. I may not look young, but I feel young. They'd say, "Hey, did they hurt you? Did they hurt your feelings?" Oh no, it didn't hurt me none. My pride. Or I'd have somebody come up to me when I was young. And listen, now if you ask me that, I'll tell you the truth. You know, now I still got some pride the Lord's working with, but I'm going to tell you, most people, they won't confess whenever they feel like they've been done wrong because they have so much pride. No, they didn't hurt me. No, you didn't hurt me. So it never gets dealt with. It never gets healed. Come on. And some of you, you don't want to be perceived as a little child or something that's childish in your life. So you won't tell anybody when something's, listen, the Bible is clear. If you have aught with your brother, you leave your gift at that altar. That means stop your praying and requesting from the Lord. Don't ask Jesus for anything else. If you have aught with your brother, leave that gift, that request at that altar. You get up from that altar. You go to your brother or sister and make it right, and then come back and offer your gift. I can tell you, when you make it right with your brother this way, God will answer your prayers this way. Amen. Listen, God has a prescription and a plan. Don't allow your pride to get a hold of your heart where you won't deal with the issues of people who have offended you. Please hear me. Just because you were mistreated, it still does not give you permission to hold on to the offense. Some of you have legitimately been done wrong. You have been hurt. You have been talked about. You have been mistreated. It does not give you the right to hold on to the offense. Maybe your parents, maybe your dad did something to you. He said something. Maybe he was a certain way and you want to hold on to that thing. You are in the trap of the enemy. Let me show you another issue with holding on to an offense. In Matthew 24 and 10, "And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." Notice, one of the signs of the pending return of Christ is this: many shall be offended. Many shall be offended. Listen, there's a lot of signs of the times that are everywhere, and you can read about them in the Word of God. But one of the signs in Matthew 24 is many shall be offended. Not a few, not some, but many. And we can ask, who are these that are being offended? Are they Christians or are they sinners? Listen, if you begin to look at this, the word love in this particular passage, there's a lot of definitions for love in the New Testament. But in this Greek definition, in this passage, love is agape. That is the godly love that's manifested from God, that's not natural. Listen, I can't have agape love until I allow Him to love people through me. And the Bible says the love, the agape love of those Christians that once walked with God, loved God, it's going to wax cold. It's going to get cold and indifferent. It's going to turn away from God. Hear me today. And they're going to come under the spirit of deception. How dangerous is it? What's the high cost of offense? Holding on to it? Allowing yourself to stay in that trap? You are setting yourself up for deception in the last day. I'm going to show you what the Bible says about it. You're setting yourself up for deception. The love of God is unconditional. Our salvation is not unconditional. God will love a sinner all the way to hell. Christians must understand that we can't love unless Christ loves through us. So the context in when it comes to Christians many in the church will be offended. Proverbs 18 and 19 says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. What does this mean? A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. What they're saying is they construct walls around a city to protect it. We construct walls around our hearts to prevent future wounds. We become selective, denying entry to all because we're afraid they're going to hurt us. Listen to me, we were in Honduras this week, and I'm going to share tonight in detail, but we were preaching to this new group of pastors, about 10 of them. And the first night, Thursday night, we got there, and after the service, they were kind to us, but you could tell there was walls up. And I asked Brother Luis, I said, hey, brother, do you notice that they just don't, they're not connecting with us? Something's going on. And he said, I don't know, brother. He said, something's going on. So the next day, I knew that this pastor, this overseer, and maybe multiple pastors had been hurt. And I began to pray. We had a 6 o'clock prayer meeting. And I, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, they don't like us. We're going to move on. There's a lot of times that we get this perception that people don't like us. Oh, they don't want to talk to us. They're giving us the cold shoulder. So what's our response? Well, if you don't like me, I don't like you. I want to get away from you. I don't have to hang around you. Come on. And that's exactly what the mindset my flesh wanted to do. Okay, this guy don't want us here. These preachers don't want us to help him. We're not coming to take from these people. We're coming to give to these people. And I'm in that prayer meeting, and I begin to hear that overseer and all those men of God cry out to God. And I'm reminded, I'm a pastor, so I know that people oftentimes are offended, they're hurt, and they build up walls. And the Spirit of God let me know that there was a wall that was built up in that overseer. And I got up and I told Brother Luis, I said, hey, I don't know which one he is, but I want you to show me which one the overseer is. I went over to him, I put my arm around him, we knelt down together, and I began to intercede for that man who could not speak English. And he began to weep deep from within. And I knew he had been offended by somebody else. There was something running deep in his heart. And I knew what I needed to do. I needed to bring a reinsurance. I'll tell it tonight, but I had to tell these brothers some things to help them, to reassure them. And I can tell you, I literally watched the walls come down. Their countenance of their face changed. Why? Because they had been hurt. They had been done wrong. What we need to do, we need to stop being offended at the offended. We're offended at the offended because they're not very nice and cordial. They are not as receptive as you and I are. They've got walls built up. And it, listen, God, the Son of God, he is, listen, Jesus is a type of the husband. The church is a type of the woman. We're the bride of Christ. Listen, we are to heal one another. Christ is the healer of that wife. And we heal one another within the body. Whatever I've got to do to bring healing to you, I need to do it. Whatever you need to do to bring healing to your wife, sir, you need to do it. Whatever you need to do to bring healing to your husband, ma'am, you just need to do it. Oftentimes, I've been guilty of this myself. Listen, you hurt my feelings, so whenever you get it right, I'll get it right. Or I'm not going to go to you and ask for forgiveness and say, I'm sorry, because I know you did me wrong. And listen to me, what that does, it just creates a big old trap. And everybody's in the trap of offense. Hear me today. The focus of offended Christians is always inward and introspective. We guard our rights and personal relationships carefully. Our energy is consumed with making sure no future injuries occur. If we don't risk being hurt, we cannot give unconditional love. Do you hear me? If you don't risk being hurt, well, I'm not going to give everything. I know what'll happen. I'm afraid. I'm not going to let that happen to me again. You've been offended. You're in the clutch and the trap of the devil. Because the only view is yourself, my family, my situation. So you're going to keep those walls up when you could be the centerpiece. You could be the key to somebody else finding God. Come on, church. It's time that we get this thing right. It's not about us, and we make it all about us. It's always inward and introspective. It needs to be outward. It's about healing somebody else. Do you want to be healed this morning? Do you want to receive a miracle this morning? Then you need to heal somebody else. If you want to receive a miracle, begin to pray for somebody else. Begin to work with somebody else and get out of the trap of offense. Get out of that thing and God will begin to work. An offended Christian is one who takes in life, but because of fear cannot release life. A natural example of this is the two seas in the Holy Land. The Sea of Galilee freely receives and gives out water. It is an abundance of life, nurturing many different kinds of fish and plant life. The water of the Sea of Galilee is carried by the way of the Jordan by the Dead Sea. But the Dead Sea only takes water in and does not give water out. There are no living plants or fish in it. The living water from the Sea of Galilee become dead when mixed with the hoarded waters of the Dead Sea. Life cannot be sustained if held onto. Oh, what a principle. What a picture. Listen, this life, we're like whenever Ezekiel saw the river of God flowing underneath the altar, that's the Holy Ghost. You know what the river of God is? It's the Holy Ghost of God. That river always has an inlet or an outlet. If it just has an inlet, it becomes a cistern. It becomes a water of stagnation. But whenever it has an inlet and an outlet, whenever it receives and it gives, it is a life-giving body of water. And as a Christian, whenever you get offended, you can become stagnant and dead because you have that wall up. You're taking in the Word of God, the love of others. But until you walk in the place that God has called you to and begin to give, you're going to be miserable. You're not going to have the joy of the Lord. Do you really want to have the joy of the Lord? Do you really want the peace of God flowing in your heart again? It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's time that we unleash or open up the trap and walk out. God, the power of the Holy Ghost will help us today to get out of the trap of offense. Hallelujah. As a result of fear and being in the trap, we enter into a prison of our own making. 2 Corinthians 10:4 describes this as a stronghold. There are people that are offended. Their feelings are hurt. They've been done wrong, legitimately or perceived, and they're in a stronghold. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So are you saying, Brother Matt, that some people that are holding on to offenses are kind of like the Dead Sea? Yep. You got death moving in your life. Death, because you've been offended. You've been hurt, and you cannot get past it. How selfish it is for you to hold on to something. How selfish it would be for me to hold on to something. And I cannot be a minister of the gospel in some facet or another. I cannot love the way I should love. I cannot give the way I should give because I've got my wall up, because ain't nobody ever going to hurt me like that again. I've heard it. I've heard it within the body of Christ, and they don't even realize what they're saying. When we filter everything through past hurts, rejections, and experiences, we find it impossible to believe God. Do you hear me? When you filter everything through your pain, you will not believe God. You will have doubt and unbelief. Matthew 24:11, I'm getting ready to close. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Who are the many that will be deceived in the last day? If you look at the context, who are the many? It's the offended. It's the offended. Look at the context of this scripture. Many will be deceived. It's the offended, because the love of God has grown cold in their life. Has the love of God grown cold in your life? Do you love like you used to love? Or have you gotten so used to religion and you have figured out the ones? Your discernment has been sharpened. And everybody is a certain way and you can discern them. I believe in discernment. I believe in the Holy Ghost revealing to us things that we don't know in the natural. But listen to me. That discernment has been used oftentimes as a vice, and it is not of God. It's been used to not walk in the Spirit, not love others, not forgive, and to keep your walls up. It's time that we bring down them walls. It's time that we stop making excuses. Listen, there's a high cost to offense, ladies and gentlemen. You are most vulnerable to the attack of the enemy when you hold on to offense. I've watched on Discovery oftentimes an animal that's trapped, and they want to release the trap. Maybe a man sees them, and they don't want to get injured by the animal that is trapped, but they'll go and release that animal. That animal is vulnerable to anything that hunter wants to do whenever it's trapped. And we are vulnerable when we're in the trap of offense. Let's look at how offense progresses. Matthew chapter 24 and 10. And then shall many be offended. You hurt my feelings. You did me wrong. Here's the next step. And shall betray one another and shall hate one another. So here it is right here. Offense leads to betrayal, and betrayal leads to hatred. Remember what I said earlier. Offended people build up walls of protection. Listen, and we say this, nobody is going to hurt me like that again. I will not let down the wall anymore. Look at the attitude. Look at the attitude. It's all about your feelings. You in the ministry, if I had this attitude, I'd have resigned 20 years ago. God has given me grace to have a short memory. Something. Or just ignore it after all these years. I mean, things that are said and done, people just don't think that they have a low, and they have a low emotional IQ. You know what that means? When you have a low emotional IQ, you can't see the hurt of others. You say the wrong thing constantly. You're always offending people. You don't think about the other person. They have a low emotional IQ. And I mean, that's just the way it is. Until you are sensitive to the Spirit of God, until you begin to empathize with the hurt of others, your emotional IQ is lower. It can be raised through the Word of God and the power of the Spirit and looking through not your eyes, but trying to look through the eyes of other people. Come on. I try to always view it. Whenever I get mad at someone, I'm thinking, man, why did they say that? Why do they act that way? Immediately, the first thing I try to do is I try to put my mind in their mind. Why would they do that? Because I know this individual is not a bad person. They wouldn't be in this church if they wanted to be mean and vicious and vindictive, right? Most people in the church are not mean people. Well, not in this church anyway. Praise the Lord. So I try to put my mind in their mind and figure out why they're doing what they're doing. Listen, I'm not justifying wrong. I'm not saying it's okay. But there's a lot of times that you can bring healing to that hurt, and it can deal with that issue, ladies and gentlemen. And oftentimes when we see that offense, when we see that bitterness, we can go to them, and God can use us to bring healing to that person, come on, that's been offended. And I can tell you the walls came down with those pastors in Honduras. And I believe that God's going to touch their churches, and he's going to fill their churches up all over that region of Honduras, because I believe that God showed me. I went to that man. I loved on him. I reassured him. We're not here to hurt you. We're here to help you. And we've got to learn to reach out and heal and be discerning of what the real issue is all about. Ladies and gentlemen, whenever you are focused on yourself, self-preservation, it makes you very vulnerable to deception. Can someone come to the piano? Do you remember the story of Joseph? I love it. Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob. He was the son, Joseph was, of Jacob's old age. He loved Joseph very much. You know the story. The Bible said that the Lord began to give Joseph dreams. He dreamed that he had a coat of many, or he had a coat of many colors, but his first dream was he saw himself bound sheaves in a field. His sheaf arose and stood upright, and his brothers bowed down to him. Well, this young man begins to tell everybody about it. Maybe some things the Lord shows you, he wants you to keep. I don't know, you know? I mean, he made his brothers mad. And the second dream was he saw the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars representing his father, mother, and brothers bowed down. When he told them the dream, they, his brothers, did not share his enthusiasm. They were angry. Shortly after this, the 10 brothers said, "Let's do away with this boy." Jacob sent Joseph to see how the brothers were doing. He was the youngest. When the older brothers saw Joseph coming, they conspired against him, saying, "Here comes the dreamer. Let's kill him. Then we shall see what will come of his dreams." You know the story. They threw him in a pit, and there was a band of Egyptians that came by, and instead of killing him, they said, "Let's sell him into slavery." So they did that. They sold him into slavery, and then he ended up in Potiphar's house, and everything Joseph touched, God blessed. It doesn't matter if you're in a prison or a dungeon, God can still bless the things that you touch. It doesn't matter if you're in a wilderness this morning when it comes to trials and adversity, God can still be anointed. The anointing of God can still be on your life. You know the story, Potiphar's wife came after him to sleep with Joseph. He ran from her. She accused him falsely of rape. Potiphar ends up putting him in a dungeon. There's 1,000 devils that whisper in his ear, "What about your God now? It's all because your brothers, they hated you. God gave you a dream. God showed you a vision. Was that really God? Is this the reward that God gives you?" You know the devil told him all kinds of things. Thousands of demons got into his mind, whispered in his ear. There were times he probably struggled with revenge. "I'll show them one day. I'll get them." You can't say that he did not struggle with those things. The Bible doesn't say he did, but it doesn't say he didn't. You know the story? He was in the dungeon, and the baker and the butler were cast into the dungeon, and they both had a dream, and he began to interpret the dream. One was going to die. One was going to be restored back to his place. He looked at the one that was going to be restored back to his place and said, "Just remember me when you get there. Get me out of this place." 2 years went by. He was forgotten. Again, all those devils getting that mind, thinking about the domino effect of what happened in his early life, how he loved his brothers. Nobody can hurt you like a brother or sister, mom or dad. They sold him. They didn't love him enough to just maybe give him a little spanking, whatever. I mean, come on. I mean, this is family. And all the pain that he's going through, he traces it back. All the pain that he's going through, he's tracing it back to those brothers who did him wrong. But he chose not to be bitter. I believe that he chose to continue to trust the Lord. I personally believe that if Joseph would have had a revengeful spirit, that I'm not saying he didn't have the temptation, but if he would have made up his mind, "I'll have revenge," he'd have died in that dungeon. He'd have took matters in his own hands and he'd have died in that dungeon. How often do we hear brothers and sisters fall into some trap and they begin to assign the blame to someone else? "If it wasn't for my wife, I'd be in ministry today." I've heard people say that. "She's hindered me and ruined so much of what I have dreamed. If it weren't for my parents, I would have a normal life." "They are to blame for where I am today. If it weren't for my mom and dad getting divorced, struggling so much in marriage, I wouldn't be having problems in my marriage." I've heard it. "If it weren't for my former husband, my kids, I wouldn't have all this financial trouble. I've heard that. If it weren't for that woman in the church, I'd still be in favor with the leaders of the church. She gossiped about me and gave them a jaded view of me. And now I'm offended, and it's all traced back to her. You're in a trap. The list is endless, ladies and gentlemen. Can we stand? It's easy to blame everyone else for your problems you have and imagine how much better off you would be if it had not been for all those around you. You know your disappointment and hurt is all of their fault. I know that Joseph was tempted to go this route, but he did not go this route. He maintained his focus on God. He knew that God had everything in his hands. I want to say this before I move on. You got to get this in your mind that a good man's steps or a good woman's steps are ordered by the Lord. It looks like the devil's done it all. I want to show you something. Whenever they were reunited, Joseph ended up getting out of that dungeon and becoming second in command over all of Egypt. There was a famine in the land, and he's the one that, because of his dream, he told Pharaoh, and they stored up grain. So people all over the world came to get the grain, to buy grain from Egypt, and Joseph was in charge of it. His brothers, those 10 brothers that sold him into slavery, they thought he was dead. He was dressed in that Egyptian attire. He was standing there, and he sees them walk in. And the Bible makes it very clear that love filled his heart, not revenge. If he had made up his mind, I'll get revenge, he'd have never got out of that dungeon. If you make up your mind that you want to get revenge or you want that person that hurt to hurt, that hurt you, I'm warning you, God will not move in your behalf. After he revealed himself to his brothers, they were terrified. They knew what they did to that boy. He was a brat, yeah. He bragged. He was a mess. But they didn't need to kill him or sell him into slavery. He sees them and he reveals himself. And the Bible said his bowels yearned for them, and he's in that back room. He wanted to hold those. That's the love of God, ladies and gentlemen. That's not natural, to want to care and love for someone who has offended you and hurt you and caused much pain in your life and separated you from your father and ended up hurting you in all kinds of ways. How could you forgive them? I'm going to tell you, not in yourself can you do it, but God will give you the grace and the help and the power to forgive them and to love them with a love that only comes from heaven. Listen to what he said to them. They were terrified. He said, "What you meant for evil, God meant it for good." So do you think the devil sent him down that path? Listen, before God created Joseph and all of his brothers, he knew he was going to call Joseph. He knew what his brothers were going to do. He knew the whole plan. And he already had a plan. He knew it was going to take this to shape Joseph into a leader. There are things that's happened to you that are so terrible that you don't even want to tell anybody. And you're thinking, God cannot be connected to that. And I agree, God cannot be tempted with evil. He allows the enemy to come in. I don't understand all the ways of God, but I do know this. I have seen people go through traumatic, ungodly things, and it ended up being the most beautiful thing. The greatest ministry in your life always comes from your deepest hurt. Your greatest ministry will come from your deepest hurt. I want you to let that sink in for a second. Your greatest ministry will come from your deepest hurt. It can make you better, and you can love people more because of that hurt. Or it can make you bitter And you can constantly be live in that state. Your mind is always viewing the negative. And you're that victim. You're a victim. Victim mentality. They don't love me. They don't care about me. They're not doing me right. Well, bless your little heart. There are souls out there. I see little children in Honduras and in Nicaragua. They live in dirt floors. We've been in their house. They have nothing, but they have joy. I'm going to tell you something. We got it. You got it. If you ain't been on the mission field, if you can, you need to go. Bless our little heart. They did us wrong. Well, they spit upon Jesus. They mocked him. They plucked his beard. Whenever he was on the cross and he was dying, they thrust a spear in his side. They spit upon him. They mocked him. And yet Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we say, judge them, God. Two different spirits, ladies and gentlemen. You may not say it with your mouth, but you've said it in your mind and your heart. When is God going to vindicate me for the pain that I've been through? We need to ask God to forgive us. Change my heart, God. Change my mind. There's a high cost to offense. The reason some of you are possibly still in that dungeon, that little dungeon of your own making, or maybe a dungeon or a prison of circumstance. Why hasn't God intervened? I'll tell you, God would have never intervened in Joseph's dungeon situation if he said, when I get out of here, they're going to get it. But the moment he said, if I ever get out of here and those dreams come to pass, I'm going to love them with a love they've never experienced before. Miracle time is in the making. What happened with him will happen with you. If you make up your mind that you will not seek vengeance, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Pray for mercy. Pray for grace. Pray for that person that's healed, hurt you. I close with this one thought, and it is this. When you edit the closest way, the fastest way to become just like Jesus, that's our prayer, right? We say, Lord, make me like you. I want to be conformed to your image. I want to talk like you, walk like you, love what you love, and hate what you hate. We pray that, right? But some of us are meaner than a striped spider. Whenever we can edify those who mortify us, we will slowly begin to become more like Jesus. Let me say it again. When you edify, build up, pray for those who mortify you, that are against you, that's talked about you, that's hurt you, that's whenever you slowly begin to take on the nature of Christ, and it's progressive. Sanctification is progressive. It's instantaneous, and it's progressive. I'm saved at the moment the blood of Jesus touches me, I'm ready for heaven. But it'll take a lifetime to become like Jesus. Amen. When you edify those who mortify you, when you edify those who mortify you, when you edify those who mortify you, you will become like Jesus, and you open up the windows of heaven, and his ear will be attentive to your cry. That's the key. Get out of that trap of offense. There's a high cost to it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Father, I preach what you put in my heart today. I know, Lord, that you're speaking to people in this sanctuary and also those that are watching by Facebook. Help us. God, help us. We've all been guilty of being offended and holding on to it. Every one of us in this sanctuary this morning, we've all been guilty. Lord, we all of us, we've walked through times in our life, and you know where everybody is in this place this morning. You know the stage of their life. We've all walked in times where we held on and we wanted to be vindicated, and we wanted others to suffer, those who have offended us. Lord, we're asking you to forgive us for that wicked spirit. It's wicked. It's ungodly. It's fleshly. Has nothing to do with this Christ. Help us, God. Forgive us for that spirit. Lord, as we come down to this altar this morning, I'm asking you to change us, transform us. I'm going to ask everyone to come that can possibly come. If you can make your way, I want you to find a place to pray at an altar or stand at the wall or pray at these pews. Listen to me. You need to pray for the miracle power of God to begin to work and to walk in this direction. You say, well, it'll just be words. It won't be from my heart. God can help you. When you start, whenever you make that step of faith, hear me. When you make that step of faith, God can begin to do a work inside of you. And His grace meets the free will of man, and a miracle takes place. When the grace of God, that's His ability, meets the free will of man, man's choices, man's decisions, a miracle takes place. It doesn't matter if you feel like it's sincere at first or not. When you begin to pray for your enemies, when you begin to pray for those who have offended you, miracles begin to take place. Hallelujah.
He heals the brokenhearted, and He remembers you though you feel forgotten, and He gives beauty for your ashes. He can give you peace when you don't have the strength to ask Him. That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does. Jesus loves. I know He heals the brokenhearted, and He remembers you though you feel forgotten, and He gives beauty for your ashes. He can give you peace when you don't have the strength to ask Him. That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does. Jesus. strength to ask Him. That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does. Jesus loves. So let